Hoops fans, how you doing? Hopefully better than Chris Paul. It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for another fresh episode of NBA Takedown here live a little after noon on Wednesday, December 3rd. I am pleased to be joined by my two buddies for the first time since in the 9 days. It's a long time since I've been with both of you fine gentlemen. I'll go to my left first. Sean, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Same for you, Jeff. And we are now in the holiday season, so now it is okay to play Christmas carols because some of you assholes are playing All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth on Veterans Day, and you people should never, ever see heaven.
Is that your takeoff take?
That is not even my takeoff.
Well, I don't know what this does for me. So Sean, for anybody who missed this, we were on Weekly Wagers yesterday, and he said that I should go to hell because I was disregarding the rule of law laid out by Plies.
Yes,
by Plies, a rapper who says you can't eat Thanksgiving leftovers after the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Yes. I'm breaking that rule right after we're done with the show, so Plies can fuck off. All due respect to him. There we are. Jeff, how are you, sir? What's going on?
A little over the weather, a little under the weather, but overly grateful to be here, man.
Well, I love that. This is why I need you. Like, the positivity. It's just, I just need it sometimes in my life. That's what it's all about right here. I had a doctor's appointment with my little one earlier today. She got stitches last week. So they're like, yeah, they're healing up. And then we left the office and she was like, started crying because she's like, my friends are gonna laugh at me because I have this little scar in my head. And I was like, this is a great way to start the day, truly. So I needed your positive energy, really.
Oh, no.
Awesome, man. It's parenting.
Listen. Life isn't easy, man. You know, not all of us could have Memphis, Brooklyn, and Charlotte on our betting and sweating video picks and go 20-0.
Well, listen.
I got it at this Jeff, point. All I got bitch. Is agendas.
Stop being
all
a
I
bitch.
Got is agendas left. You know what this is like? I'm gonna tell you what this is like. All jokes Please. Aside, one of the reasons I left a lot of fantasy football leagues is because we were just playing the game. There was no banter. There was no commentary. It was like, yo, I might as well just play against a computer, like a one-on-one game, as opposed to the camaraderie of it all. And we've been too, at Knicks Film School, we've been too cordial with betting and sweating. So I'm trying to inject some controversy right now because at this point, I'm sick because Sean just got out to a crazy league.
Yeah, but the problem is there is one person in our betting and sweating group who will remain nameless, but who is going through not a tough time in his life, but he's going through it right now. He has a newborn at home. So how much shit can you give the guy who is clearly up to his ears in it, even though he deserves all of the shit because he is so drastically bringing up the rear? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Jeff, just listen, man up, and you get what you get, and you don't get upset.
There you go. On that note, let us kick things off with the takeoff.
2-1-0, ignition, liftoff.
All right, let's see. Where should we go first? You know what? I want to save mine if that's okay. Sean, why don't you tee things up?
About an hour before we went on the air, Shams reported that it's been reported that Chris Paul reported.
There we go. We got the tweet up on YouTube right now.
At 2 o'clock in the morning that he has been, it's basically the Clippers cut him. And Shams, and for those listening, Shams. This tweet from Shams, Chris Paul's leadership style clashed with the Clippers. He was Paul was vocal holding management, coaches, and players accountable. Him and Ty Lue have not spoke for weeks. My takeoff is that Leon Rose should pick up the phone and call Chris Paul right now and get his behind to New York City and Madison Square Garden.
So I want to say off the bat, They did not cut him. They told him to take his toy and go home. That is what they told him, according to Chris Paul, right? Like, it's different because, like, if they waive him, then he's not a then he's not on the team anymore, and he can sign with anybody. He's still a member of the Clippers. Is the only thing I guess I'm trying to make clear. In any case, so you want the Knicks to sign Chris Paul? Why?
The Knicks could use a backup point guard. This is true. Consistent backup point guard, and I don't listen. Chris Paul, he is not Fat Elvis. He's the Fat Elvis of Fat Elvis at this point, like that far washed. But, well, he's not washed, but
he's the Fat Elvis of Elvises, I think is what you meant to say.
No. Of the Fat Elvises, he's the fattest Elvis. However,
he's the Michael Jordan of Fat Elvises.
No, I think he's like the Benjamin of Fat Elvis is what Sean is trying to say.
Oh my God, not Benoit.
Y'all remember Benoit.
Yes. For 13 minutes a game, the Knicks need someone that when Jalen Brunson's not on the floor, that can get them into their offense.
Okay.
Maybe hit a midi, an open three. And that's it.
Okay.
Because so that's why I'm like, call him. Or call Lawrence Frank and say, hey, let's figure something out.
Jeff, do you want Chris Paul in the Knicks?
Oh, yeah. I wanted him when they amnesty Chauncey Billups.
Oh, we're going back
to
this.
They set off a chain of events that brought us here today, for better or for worse, and was a little bit of both. After the toast at Melo's wedding, I wanted Chris Paul here. He should have been here. Just like I know there's Lakers fans who think he should have been there too. But Chris Paul should have been on a lot of teams. He should have been a Knick. I think for everything that Sean laid out, plus, yeah, he may not be what he once was. He can still play defense though. He still has the defensive instincts at least. My one concern would be durability. But if you're only playing him for 10 minutes a night, durability and homesickness. Because he specifically went to LA to be closer to his family. So now if you come to New York, it's like, yo, you are a mercenary. You for X amount of months in your final year, let's ride and let's try to get this chip. I'm with it, man. I'm with it.
As Tom Cruise said in A Few Good Men, it's 6 months. It's a hockey season. Like, we're not asking him to uproot his family. He could come here. I think the best news, if you're a Knicks fan who is toying with the idea of Chris Paul on this roster, the best news you could have gotten is this report that he has been clashing with Clippers management and Ty Lue, because that lends credence to the idea that it's not because he's completely washed that he's not playing. It's because he's been a pain in the balls that he's not playing. And would he fit in better with this locker room? Well, that's an interesting question, but it's one I'd be curious the answer
PJ
to.
PJ did.
That's true. PJ did. And PJ and Paul are like kind of similar. Yeah.
Right. Pets. Like, yeah. I don't think, you know what? He takes a lot of accountability, responsibility off the table for guys like Jalen Brunson and guys who may not be as vocal. You need somebody. I'll tell you this much. With Hart and with Chris Paul, that motherfucker's better get in formation. Because there ain't going to be no slacking.
Roommate's pod.
But you know what? You say that, but you know who Chris Paul might be barking at?
Oh. I know, but you know what?
Like the third time.
What did Jimmy Butler call Carl Anthony Towns in that practice?
Oh, those will be sweet nothings. But you know what? You know what you're getting.
You know exactly what you're getting.
I'll shoot Carl some bail. He ain't fold. And he gave Jimmy the entire medicine cabinet the next time he saw him as a member of the Knicks. So he ain't going to fold. He gonna complain, but he ain't going to fold.
I'd be all for it. Kick the tires. What do you got to lose other than Tyler Kolek? Which, sorry, Tyler.
But... 2+3 mil this year. Jeremy Cohen, you are on the clock.
I actually
figure it out.
I actually texted Jeremy earlier about whether Paul's salary in a trade would be his actual salary, what he's actually bringing home into his bank account, or the
prorated.
It's like basically, I really don't want to get this, but like the 2-year veteran number that like is the placeholder for all veteran minimum contracts. And Jeremy's pretty sure it would be the latter, which would help the Knicks. Okay. Jeff, we're running long before we get to play GM of the Atlanta Hawks. What's your take?
The Oklahoma City Thunder are the deepest team in NBA history.
In NBA history.
NBA history. Bro, they did not have... I didn't even know Lu Dort was out. Like, you know what they are? You ever watch... Well, this is for the heads, right? For the nerds and the geeks. Justice League Unlimited was a show on Cartoon Network.
I'm hearing you. It's going in one ear out the other, but keep talking.
It's pretty much every DC... If you were not in the Justice League... It was like you were trash. Like every hero, there was the main cast, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and then the reserves, right? That's how they feel to me. I didn't even know Lu Dort was out. Dort, Caruso, and Hartenstein. And yeah, the Warriors played well enough that I didn't just sim to the end and go to sleep. But these dudes, man, they just come at you in waves and waves and waves. They, Cason Wallace, we talked about AJ Mitchell. We've been talking about him the first part of the year. They just got guys and they all follow the same formula for them, man. They just plug and play standardized parts that can all do things well.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of things well, a lot of bit of the time, man. Like I would love to hear who would be a deeper team 1-11 that isn't Team USA basketball. For the Oklahoma City Thunder,
we're trying to build this podcast. We are a young pod, and we've been on this earth for like less than 2 months. So I'm going to avoid the temptation to read anybody off the roster of the 1962 Boston Celtics. But I think my point is that we got to go back in time to find an answer to your question.
And that's when they were hoarding. There wasn't even free agency back then.
It was easier to hoard.
Right. There wasn't no free agency.
You know what the answer is? The answer is from before the NBA existed. The answer is the 1927 New York Yankees. That's the answer.
Oh, if we go on all the sports. Oh, yeah. That's risky.
Yeah, no. You know what? It's a great take. And yet, at the same time, you know, you want to know what the best pushback is? Legitimately, I think the best pushback is... How can you say you're the deepest team since whenever if you are so reliant on your number one player? And watching last night and watching how the Warriors came back with Shea on the bench, and then Shea comes into the game and it's like, it doesn't fucking matter because it's Shea. Like, I think that's the best argument against it, but I think it's a good take. I like it.
For sure.
Okay. My take requires a little video assistance, and this is going to be courtesy of the Bill Simmons podcast. He just did a spot with Max Kellerman, and I'm just going to play this audio for us right now.
Why I would put him over Tim Duncan is because I think that it is close, I think, between those two, is that
it's outrageous.
Kobe's team believed if he had a shot to win, Kobe's team believed that they would win.
I'm going
to
leave.
The Tim Duncan slander.
You think it's slander to put Kobe ahead of Duncan?
I just think he's the most underappreciated superstar of all time.
But what I've made this piece many times. It's Kobe and Duncan are neck and neck.
All right, we got the gist. So this is Max and Bill Simmons going back and forth about whether Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant is higher on the all-time list. My take is that this is the modern NBA IQ test, and that if you have Kobe Bryant ahead of Tim Duncan on your all-time list, you fail said test.
Thank you. Jonathan Macri, I love you.
It's very kind of you to say, Sean, really.
I have fought this battle with the Kobe Hive, the Kobe Stani, the Kobe Stans, the Kobe whatever, the Kobe Glazers. I fought this battle for years. I've said, because you know what they told me? You know what the reason I was told for years why
Kobe Tell me what you were told.
Do you know why I was told? You know what they told me why Kobe is better than Duncan?
Why?
One word. 13 letters. Rings. That's what I was told. Okay. Rings. He has 5 and he has 3. He has 4. And then as soon as Tim Duncan got the 5th ring, you know what they told me? Well, you can't really compare them because they both play different positions. You look at, I'll land the plane here.
I love it.
You look at the 2003 San Antonio Spurs roster, and you tell me how the hell that team won the title.
I think that's a great argument. I don't even know if it would be in my top 5. I'll save my brief thoughts because, again, we got to move on. But, Jeff, thoughts on this one?
Tim Duncan is the best power forward of all time. I think he is the most underappreciated superstar that there's been in a minute. In real time, I didn't think it was crazy to say that at worst they were equal. But people made it seem as if it was straight sacrilegious to say that Duncan was better.
Yeah.
I think, and Max made the point on the Simmons pod, I think those years before the 09-10 championships without Shaq, them 3 years are what are the biggest dings on his resume. I think that's what the biggest thing. Like the whole Sun series,
yep.
he had the 45 wins in that 1 year, but I feel like that was the time to separate and to shut the door. And I don't know that he truly did. And when you look at their numbers, they're pretty comparable in their, you know, this is pre every big man can dribble, pass, and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pretty comparable. If you dabble in the advanced analytics, like box plus minus, he got them. VORP, he has them by like, Duncan has Kobe by like 10. But I do think that when it comes to elevating your team, like making the people around you better, I think Duncan definitely has the edge there.
In NBA, in modern NBA history, so we're all in our mid-40s, so we will respectively go back to, let's say, the late 80s, since we've been really watching as fans, so almost 40 years. There's only been one player in all that time that from the moment he stepped foot into the league until his mid-30s guaranteed you 50 wins, and his name was Tim Duncan. And that's why for me, with the exception of maybe a couple seasons when Kobe won his MVP, when he was winning the 2 championships with Powell, during the entirety of their careers, if you ask me after each one of those years, who would you rather have on your basketball team, Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant, I would have said Tim Duncan. And I know for a couple of years that probably would have been controversial, but the guarantee of the high level of competence, the for 14 or 15 straight years had a top 4 defense, the biggest thing for me, and this is really going to get under the skin of the Kobe stands, is Tim Duncan, it was no bullshit. There was no nonsense. The whole reason the thing worked in San Antonio was Pop could treat him like he was the 15th man on the roster, and Tim Duncan didn't say shit. Kobe, we know, needs to be catered to a little bit in different ways that we don't have to get into right now. But like, and then you just like the first year, 8 years of their career, they were both in the league at the same time. Tim Duncan finished higher in MVP voting than Kobe Bryant every single one of those years. He ended his career still getting MVP votes while Kobe was doing this, like, I don't even want to know what I would refer to the end of Kobe's career. It was not pretty. It was not winning basketball. So I don't even think it's really controversial, but that's me.
It's not.
Okay. Shall we? I'm echoing someone somewhere. I don't know where I'm echoing from. Let me see. Oh, here you go. Okay. I think I'm good now. Do you want to play GM of the Atlanta Hawks?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Okay. So let me just kind of set the scene here. Here's why I wanted to do Atlanta. And then, Jeff, I want to throw it to you with maybe the big question for Atlanta. And then we'll start to get into some of the nitty gritty. So I wanted to do Atlanta because right now they are kind of the talk of the league because of what they've been able to do without Trae Young. They have an emerging young star in Jalen Johnson. And he is probably going to almost certainly going to make his first all-star team. They have the reigning most improved player in Dyson Daniels. They have a guy in Nikhil Alexander Walker, who is in, I would say, the midst of his prime. And he is making a leap that may or may not be real. We don't know. He's 27 years old, so it would be kind of a late career leap, but he's also never had this sort of opportunity before, averaging 20 points a game, doing so pretty efficiently. And they're waiting on, I'm still echoing. I don't know which, Sean, maybe, is that you? I might be echoing on your end, but in any case, plug in your headphones. How about that? There's
They are plugged in.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I'm echoing from somewhere.
Well, someone's not wearing headphones. You ain't ask him.
Damn. Don't commit a crime with Sean with a W. Listen. Are you still echoing?
I think I'm good. But, so they have all this stuff going on. Ostensibly, their best player, Trae Young, is not playing basketball right now. Ostensibly, he is their best player. Undisputably, he's not playing basketball right now, as they are kind of a borderline top 10 offense, top 10 defense. And they have sitting there these two major issues or two major question marks. Number one is surrounding Trae Young. What do they do with them? Do they extend him? Do they not extend him? Is there a price they should extend him at? Should they even want him back on the team? And then they have what is currently seen as the most valuable trade chip, arguably, in the NBA. With this unprotected New Orleans Pelicans pick, the Pelicans they gave it a good fight last night. I will give it to the Pelicans. They gave it a good fight. They pushed the Timberwolves to overtime. They did, however, lose. And as a result, the Pelicans are sitting with a record of 3-19. That is the worst record in basketball. So if the lottery ended the way the lottery is supposed to end, that would be the first pick in the draft, and it would be sent to Atlanta. Jeff, what is the most interesting thing to you about the Atlanta Hawks before we dive into this?
The fact that they seem to have somehow backdoored, into an OKC type model. They have a bunch of long athletic wings who can shoot, who can dribble, who can defend. I think Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been a great trade that they made. I think that they have a level of synergy with themselves that I didn't think was possible without Trae. Because to me, Trae was the engine, and now it seems like they are a collective engine unto themselves. They've been able to withstand KP not being around as much, not having Trae Young, and are commanding one of the top spots in the division right now. So I think more than anything, that has shocked me the most, that I didn't think they would be able to maintain it. But to be playing at a level to where people are starting to openly question, yo, maybe it's time to sell high, which to me is still, I don't know, man. It still feels like it's a little crazy, but I understand why folks are jumping to those conclusions now.
And you're saying sells high on Trae Young.
Right, right. Because they're doing all of this really with defense, because they're, what, 17th?
Yeah, so we're
offensive rating, but you're gonna
give I'm gonna give some numbers in a second. I just want to, because I think this is the thing that is is hovering over this entire conversation, because there has been so much talk on national podcasts about Trae Young and like how much they should want him back. Again, is there a number they should want him back at? I think. Before we even get into that, though, because Sean, I know we've kind of talked about this before. Mm-hmm. What does selling high on Trae Young look like to you? Because I have some opinions about that, but I want to hear what you say first.
It means trading him yesterday. That's what it means. Because, I mean, so as Knicks fans, one of the terms that we heard for years about Julius Randle and his ups and downs was rehabbing his value. And the Knicks were fortunate enough to rehab his value to the point that they were able to trade him and a bench player, albeit a very good bench player in Dante DiVincenzo, to acquire a flawed but talented all NBA level big man in Karl Anthony Towns. So for you to quote unquote rehab Trae's value or raise his value to sell even higher, you need Trae Young, when he comes back from injury, to buy into what is happening and be a cog, still the biggest cog, but a cog in the machine. And to me, that's rolling the dice. So it's, you know what it is? It's like when players don't play, you can envision, like when players don't play, when you don't see players playing, you will see their ceiling more than you will see their floor.
It's door number three. What's behind? It could be a boat.
It's, you know, the mystery box. Yes, it's the mystery box. Even though we have all of, listen, there are people, there are plenty of NBA teams who are talking to them, fans of NBA teams who are talking themselves into trading for Anthony Davis, even though we have all of the evidence of who Anthony Davis is in terms of staying healthy. But for some people, it's like, well, you know, if we do this, so I think trading, selling high is trading him now.
I agree with that, although I don't, at the same time, I don't think that's realistic because NBA trade season doesn't, I mean, definitely doesn't start before December 15th, and realistically, it doesn't really get started until late January, and Trae Young's going to be back before that, and he's not going to want to go sit on the bench. Jeff, the reason why I gave you the eyes with when you were like, they're doing it mostly with defense, they are, since Trae Young went out, they are 15th in the league in offense, 6th in the league in defense. However, I want to point out that their top two lineups, which are basically their two non-Trae Young starting fives, one with Onyeka Okongwu as the starter, one with Kristaps Porzingis as the starter, surrounding respectively Jalen Johnson, Zachary Risuche, Dyson Daniels, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Both of those lineups are above the 70th percentile, according to Cleaning the Glass, in offense. One is averaging 122 points per 100. One's averaging almost 123 points per 100. Both of those would be top one or two numbers in the league. And both of them are better than average on defense, but like lower. So that's why I'm almost like, should we rejigger our perception about what a non-Trae Young Hawks team could be? And maybe they could be with a little bit more depth if you swap out Trae Young for some other stuff. Might they be something different than what we think because we're just imagining, okay, well, they're trading Trae Young out for whatever else.
Man, that's a deep question because it's almost as if that imagination has to start now.
Yeah.
Because we see it. We see it. And consider Porzingis a luxury at this point. If you get him, you get him. If you don't, you don't.
What he's been for a while.
Right. Even without him, it seems like they got a good thing going. So what are the additional needs? Do you think they have enough playmaking? Do they need another scorer off the bench? Do they, you know, like, that's where you got to get into the evaluation. It seems like, funny enough, they need more scoring, which is what Trae could provide. Right.
Yeah, but it's got to be two way. But that's the thing, right? Is it has to be. Well, here it's two way play, right? You got to have defense with the scoring, but you also have to have someone that maybe does not dominate your offense.
Low usage.
Exactly. And that's why I asked you, Sean, what is selling high on Trae Young? Because that if the notion is like there's going to be some team out there that's giving you, you know, the Mikal Bridges package. Or the Des Bain package for Trae Young. I just like, where's that team?
There is none. That's why I
said. Jeff's giving a look.
Wait, but who's the team,
oh,
Jeff?
Oh, you said the Mikal Bridges package or the Des Bain package. I rescind.
Why?
I think there's trade partners, but I don't think they're going to give up that many picks because they have an equal person to trade. But.
Sean,
I'll say this, and we, John, you know, you and I have been talking about the concept of value the past couple of days, right?
Yes, we have.
Gambling, and ultimately, value is determined by the market. So, just because the Atlanta Hawks may believe that Trae Young is worth three first round picks in us, or like the
whatever,
like the Donovan Mitchell deal, right?
Yeah,
Donovan
sure.
Mitchell was three picks, two swaps, I believe.
And right. and
that was a bargain, yeah, by the way.
And an LMA level player in Lauri Markkanen.
Well, was it a bargain? Because they've won two playoff series.
Stop it! Since? Stop it! Just stop.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, they made that trade That trade is made contingent on their guy Evan Mobley, aka Evan Garnett, aka AT&T, making the leap. and he's AT&T.
Donovan did his job, so that was a great change because Donovan did his job. And oh, by the way, Laurie, what is Laurie doing? Is he skiing? Is he at Mammoth Games? What is he doing?
Well, you know what?
Other than, but he's balling. But what is his team doing?
Hold on, what games is he at?
The Mammoth, the Utah Mammoth.
Oh, that's the hockey team.
The sensational new NHL franchise, formerly known as the Utah Hockey Club, that is the talk of the league.
That's awesome.
Come on, man. We are multifaceted on here. Don't look so shocked, John. Don't look so shocked.
Yes, son.
I definitely knew that the Mammoth were a thing before 8 seconds ago. I totally
there it know. Is.
100%.
Yes. So, and by the way, Laurie may be haunting the Cleveland Cavaliers' dream soon if Detroit has something to say about it, but I digress.
Yeah, that's good.
I said to say, if Atlanta thinks the cost of Trae Young is the value of the Donovan Mitchell deal, who's making that trade? That trade may not exist. Now, again, listen, there's a sucker born every minute, especially ones that wear purple and light and have purple lights shining from their arena after wins, which hasn't been shining very much. However, the market dictates this. So guess what? If a team offers you 2 picks and a swap and you're like, no, that's not enough. And then 6 months later, now the offer is 1 pick and 1 swap. It's like, guess what? 2 picks and once 2 picks and a swap was value or was selling high and you didn't.
So here's the problem with the Trae Young market to the extent that one exists, which is that you need to, first of all, you need to match salary. So the notion that like you could look at the Minnesota Timberwolves again, found themselves in a nip and tuck game with the freaking 3-win Pelicans last night, which is not where you want to be. A lot of people think, hey, you know, I even saw us, I think KOC mentioned Minnesota as a possible Chris Paul team on Twitter before because they like need a point guard who could give them whatever 15 minutes a night. Trae Young obviously would give them more than that. The problem is you have to give up salary. So are the Minnesota Timberwolves giving Rudy Gobert? Are they giving Jaden McDaniels? No and no. So then you get down to Julius Randle, and even if the Wolves were like, okay, we'd be cool making that trade-off, well, now all of a sudden you're bringing a guy into your team who his whole career has clearly been a guy who like dictates the offense completely. Mm-hmm. He has one of the highest usage rates in the league. Do you want to be taking the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands that much? / do you believe that Trae Young is going to be able to adjust his game that much? And then on top of that, you're losing Julius Randle and you're sacrificing, you know, your part of your identity, defensive identity. So like all the teams out there that you could say, all right, this team could maybe use a point guard, that team could maybe use a point guard. There's issues there. So that leads me down to 2 categories of teams. And I don't know which category you want to talk about first, or which one's more interesting. There's either the, as much as been discussed, the troubled point guard for troubled point guard or troubled, I'll even go a step further because Zion Williamson exists, troubled player for troubled player trade. And then there's just like the desperation teams and the desperation trades. Jeff, which you want to go to first?
Troubled point guard.
All right, let's just do it. We're going to go, all three of us, we're going to answer. If you were Atlanta, would you do Trae Young for forget the salaries for a second. They're close enough that we could figure out a way to make a match. Trae Young for LaMelo Ball. What are you saying if you're Atlanta? I'm saying no. I'm saying it right now.
For those listening on podcast, Jeff and I are making the face, and you know what that means. And the reason I say it is because, and I'm throwing out a bone to the LaMelo apologists and Glazers. There may be an argument where he's playing in a bad situation and now in a better situation, he'll shape up. Now, I don't know. Now, the thing is, I don't know if Atlanta has like the vets to like keep him in line or the infrastructure, like, you know. So, but I
know. Pick me.
I would say no, but if you may be able to twist my arm, I'll say that.
Jeff, you doing the trade? If you're the Hawks,
I'm thinking about it because you get the same, if not better, elite passing.
Okay.
You're getting around the same 3-point shooting. I'll give
you're
Trey
getting,
the
you're getting edge. Better three-point
shooter. Actually, neither is that great. But
right. But I'm just saying, like, that's why I said comparable three-point shooting, arguably better passing, and a taller player. That would be congruent with what they have going on with their current starting lineup. And I'd say this, if you're selling me on upside, and you're saying, yo, if he needed a change of scenery to go to where we think he could go, like realize potential, I think if you're rolling the dice and you don't got to give picks or whatever the case may be,
straight up.
It is worth, if it's straight up, yeah, yep, I'm doing it.
At the risk of picking the boat, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I can't even get the words out of my mouth. If you believe that LaMelo will start caring about defense, and if you believe that LaMelo will excise the nonsense from his game, and if you believe that LaMelo will stay healthy.
Mm.
So how many things do I have to believe?
That's three. Really two and a possible, because I've seen him play defense. He just got to do it.
Okay, there's a difference between I'm playing defense on this last possession of the game against Tyrese Haliburton, and I'm playing defense. Because I've seen that when he locked up Haliburton at the end.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You just got to do it consistently.
And if my aunt had wheels, she would be a wagon.
I was going to make it different.
Is it that much worse than what Trey?
Yes, they're both terrible on defense. They're bad.
Okay.
I've seen Karl Anthony Towns have absolute stand-up defensive stops, like looking like Rudy Gobert for a possession or two. I've seen that. We all have. We saw it in Detroit, game one last year. So we all see things. All right. Ja Morant.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So let me get this straight. You'll talk yourself into LaMelo Ball, but Ja Morant is a nope?
I said maybe you could twist my arm, but but here's why I know the job.
I'm way more disappointed. LaMelo, I expect disappointment in certain areas. Ja is like, yo, we didn't bring you up like that, man. Like, come on. That's the type of disappointment that I have in Ja. And I can't believe me from 5 years ago would call me now a fraud.
John.
Yeah, I'm here.
Ja Morant is on bullshit living in Memphis, Tennessee. Atlanta?
it's bullshit on HGH.
So, Sean, could you speak to...
there's no conceal carry.
No, not even that. Listen. I say this all the time. I've said this all the time. Just saying, man. I said this 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there are three sleeping giants in the NBA right now. Whereas they got this. Yeah. Okay.
You have said this.
There are not five cities in America where if you are young, rich, and black, that is a more desirable place to live than Atlanta. And Atlanta, I know everyone in America likes to point to insert city here is not a real place. Atlanta is not a real place. Like, again, he's on bullshit in Memphis. Now I'm gonna send Ja to the city where Gucci live.
When are we doing our field trip to
what you let me
lemon
know?
Lemon pepper.
You let me know. You let me know.
We're gonna do it. Listen, I'm not bullshit. At some point, we will walk into that establishment together.
We are going. Yes. Yes.
And I will get my takeout order and then leave the establishment.
That sounds encouraging.
Does it?
But shout out to me. I mean, and then we're talking about injuries. And then, I mean, we're talking about injuries.
I know.
LaMelo, honestly, listen, if this were other cities in this country, like, listen, Ja, like, listen, New York, LA, Miami, Atlanta, Houston, off the table.
DC,
oh. Rose Bar. Yo, he will be he is a spiritual successor to John Wall in DC.
Bro. What about Gil Arenas?
No, Gil was just doing dumb shit. Like, I have stories I can tell you off air of things I've heard about John Wall in the K Street Triangle in Washington, DC. Like,
On the next episode of NBA Takedown, yes. Folks. All right, we got to move on because there's other stuff I want to get to. I don't want to just do this, the whole quickly. So it's a no for me, by the way, on both LaMelo and Ja. Ja, this isn't a point guard, but I think it's relevant. Trae Young for Zion Williamson. And for the record, I don't think New Orleans does this because they obviously just drafted Fears, and Fears looks good.
It's going to sound crazy, but I'm not doing it because we don't got a spot for him.
I mean, he could play.
Well, Risa got to sit. I guess no, Risa got to sit.
So that's the part of this conversation is if you move on from Trey, can you also use Risa Shea as a piece to go help acquire something else that you might want? So I'm not worried about Risa Shea clogging up the – if you think Zion would fit, but I don't – do we want to bring that – bag of issues into the building? Again, it's a no for me.
Zion's issue is staying healthy. So again, yeah. We're here with this health issue. I saw some Atlanta fans frying Risa Shea on the timeline earlier this week. Like, yo, we completely whiffed on number one, but whatever.
Wow.
It's too early to say whiff, but Sar's looking good, and I am so high on Castle.
And the reason they don't have Sar is because Sar said, I don't want to live in Atlanta. I'd rather go to Washington Wizards, but that's either here or there. I feel like of every name you've mentioned, Zion is the one I'm most open to.
Oh. So let's just play this out for half a second. Daniels, Walker, Zion, Jalen Johnson, and pick your set. I mean, that's a
you figure out now. I'm gonna talk. Listen, Atlanta has a lot of good places to eat, and you know, so I can't. I have to be fair, but Zion, and not to go on a tangent, but like. Any of these problem contracts, quote unquote, right? These trouble players issues,
yeah.
Like you need to have a infrastructure that's strong enough to you need infrastructure in place that's strong
ain't
enough.
Ain't no infrastructure going to be able to keep Uber Eats app off your phone.
All right, see, I mean,
Atlanta's not New Orleans when it comes to food. I'll tell you that much.
That's true. That's true.
But
what I'm saying, when I say infrastructure, I mean like, all right, like we need you to do these things and like, hold him accountable and that like I don't know like but like of all the players he is the most like it's not that Zion's on bullshit when he plays, he just can't.
No, he's not play. Right, but it's like again in the boat department, has Zion been on bullshit off the court because of his failure to seemingly take his I don't know how to phrase it, his conditioning seriously? Is that because he just doesn't care about New Orleans and he like wants out of there? Or is that just an issue with Zion? I don't know the answer. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question.
Well, he sprained his adductor. Like what the hell, dog? Like really?
I don't know where my adductor is. Last two desperate teams. And then we'll finish up with some other interesting or things I want to touch on. Mm-hmm. Kings, Bucks, two very different situations. Let's just say, for argument's sake, again, the Bucks would get low. So with the Bucks, it would be all the salary. Oh no, actually, this is too easy. It's all the salary, and you get Ryan Rollins too. That's easy. That's an easy yes for me. If I could get Ryan Rollins, if I'm Atlanta, I think I'd do that. And I, even though the Bucks don't have really any picks to trade.
100%, 10 times out of 10. Send me Ryan Rollins, dump this salary, let's go. I take my chances. Young player on an upswing, I will take my chances, bro.
Wait a minute, hold on. Why are we looking at Ryan Rollins and why are we not looking at the tall guy standing behind him who has removed all of the stuff from his Instagram and extension eligible. Right. Like, I'm just asking, why are we looking
You know what we're going to do? We're going to skip the Kings because we talk about the Kings too much on this. If you could get a future unprotected Kings first and Zach LaVine, if you're Atlanta, you do that and then you flip LaVine later. Yeah. and you've solved your problem. Milwaukee. So, Atlanta can put on the table the aforementioned Pelicans pick, which is currently the best, has the best odds of winning the lottery in what is supposed to be a stacked top two at the very least, and depending on your feeling on the Boozer kid, maybe a top three. Zachary Risacher, who was drafted first in the aforementioned draft that we were just talking about. You get, and Atlanta has, just double checking this, they have every future first except for next year. They owe their pick next year, the 2027 first round pick, to San Antonio. But they also get a first round pick incoming, and I won't go through those protections, but they get a first round pick in. So Atlanta, in addition to the Pelicans pick, can put a whole bunch of future picks on the table. They have the salary. They could do Porzingis for salary. They could do, I'll look up the rest of their salary structure, but they could compile the salary without compromising the core of their team.
I have a trade put together.
What is it?
So, and this is partially influenced by listening to Uncle Bill earlier today, but so Milwaukee is going to ask for an asset back. I mean, besides the picks. The picks are going to be, like, there's going to be picks involved, whatever. No. But, like, they're going to ask for a young player.
The Pelicans pick is the asset.
Okay. So, you don't, Milwaukee's not just going to trade for Trae Young in a first and filler salary. They're going to be like, no, we need more. So, the trade that probably is going to happen is, the trade I've put together, which works, shout out to Fanspo, is okay. Trey Richichet and Dyson Daniels for Giannis and Kyle Kuzma.
And you want
Giannis? This is the tax.
And you're sending the Pelicans pick?
Or you say, you know, we don't send the Pelicans pick, we send another first one, but like at the same time, I'm not letting that get in the way of Giannis.
So you're not letting what get in the way of Giannis?
I'm not letting the unprotected Pelicans pick, which, listen, in today's and flattened lottery odds, listen, we saw it happen in Brooklyn. The shit ends up five. The shit ends up not. Nah, like, here, have it. You have these magic beans. Here you go.
Jeff, I want to turn to you first because I have a thought on this.
Ooh. Jalen Johnson, Giannis, Okongwu.
And
you still have Alexander Walker, but you lose Dyson Daniels.
I mean, defense for defense, you're switching elite positional defenses. You won't have as much on the perimeter anymore. I mean, at this point, I feel like if you have an opportunity to get that man, you do what you got to do. It would be.
And it's, listen,
you got to win in the next 3 years.
Wait, so hold on. Who are your guards? You have Nikhil Alexander Walker at shooting guard. Who's your point guard?
That we can throw in.
No, there's no throwing in.
I mean, throwing in, but like, I can find, like, you know what's funny? Maybe we put Rollins in a trade because, like,
but then Milwaukee, why would they?
Well, then, okay, is Ryan Rollins now freaking, you know, but this all comes down to the fact that this is if Giannis says, I want out, get me out of here tomorrow.
To me, if the only way this trade makes sense for both teams is if the Bucks hold the appropriate value on the pick, the New Orleans pick, which by the way, I'm not going to get into the details right now, but that pick holds even more value to the Bucks because they are involved in this complicated pick swap scenario. So even more than other teams, the Bucks should want that unprotected pick, yes, which again is from, like, through New Orleans. Yes. I think the trade has to be built around that. I also would say if you want to send a talented young player to Milwaukee, if you are not getting Dyson Daniels from me, I know it's Giannis. You're not getting Dyson Daniels from me if I'm giving you the Pelicans pick. That trade has to be built around the Pelicans pick and Onyeka Okongwu. And here's why, and this is where it's a little bit of a scary thought for Atlanta. What makes Giannis in Atlanta work if you have a stretch five? And what do you have already in Atlanta? You have Kristaps Porzingis. In that scenario, though, to go back on what you just said before, Jeff, at that point, Kristaps is no longer a luxury. Then he becomes an important, vital component of your team for everything to work, where you could put out KP, Giannis, Jalen Johnson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Dyson Daniels. That's a team that could get out of the East this year immediately.
So I remember Brian Windhorst, and curious to get your thoughts, Jeff, saying that when you trade your superstar, you need two of the following. Cap relief picks young players. So if I'm trading arguably the greatest player in franchise history, because it's him and it's Kareem, and cap space isn't really that much of an issue, I can't go to my fan base and be like, all right, look, we got Trae Young and a pick. Like, no, like, so, where's the young play? Like, where's the young player?
Okongwu and Reese Hoshea. Dude, Okongwu, Reese Hoshea, the Pelicans pick, Trae Young, who you could flip. That's a massive package. Okongwu, and then
is he like, yes, he's not old, but I mean, like, he's the sixth.
No, he's young and he has still some upside. He is in the running for most improved this year. He's not like in the all-star conversation, but Okongwu is really good. There's so many factors to this, because then when you factor in Giannis trying to strong arm the situation, would Atlanta be taking a chance by bringing in a player who's not going to tell them preemptively, I'm going to want to be here after a year and a half? So
right.
There's so many layers to this thing, which is why if you're Atlanta, like, you can't give up. You have to play this one a little bit more carefully than just, oh, it's Giannis, let's go get Giannis.
So real quick, from a Milwaukee fan perspective, I think that 2021 title credit is starting to expire, right? Like, I think the credit is starting to expire. And if you tell me you traded Giannis for Trae Young and Onyeka Okongwu, do not show me a spreadsheet. Yes. Do not send me to Dunks and Threes. Don't send me to B-Ball Index or Data Baller. What? Yo, you better have a lot more picks where that came from. Like, oh, a minimum.
I need
minimum.
All the picks.
Trae ain't staying. Trae ain't staying in no damn Milwaukee. No disrespect to Milwaukee, but I'm sure in his head, he's like, I'm not staying in no damn Milwaukee.
Maybe that's good with them. Maybe they don't want to stay there.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to flip him again. Yeah. But then now you have inherited the Hawks' conundrum of who's going to take Trae Young. What are we going to get from him? What's the flip? Whatever. Now, if you tell me they do that trade and then they flip Trae for Zion, you could probably sell me as a fan, like, yeah, I know this dude has been injured, but at least I've seen what his potential ceiling could be. Well, and if we bring him to a place where it's going to be cold and they're not known for their culinary cuisine, and yeah, you got Bobby Portis and some other vets there that will get him in line and show him the way and mentor. Yo, bruh, this is all about sales. Sales and marketing. You could sell to me.
We're selling Bobby Portis as a veteran leader.
I'll say the same thing.
To quote Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets, go sell crazy someplace else because we're all stocked up here.
I'll say this. Hey,
come on, man. What's a Nick always a Nick, bro?
Milwaukee.
Crazy eyes will give him some mentorship, bro.
Milwaukee is not making this trade without getting Dyson Daniels back. I'll tell you that shit right
then,
now.
Then that's fine. Then if you're Atlanta, you don't get Giannis, which leads me to the last part of this discussion, which is like, okay, if you've made the internal determination that you do not want to move forward with Trae Young, putting aside the Trae Young trade part of it, I think you do have to cross the Rubicon of like, okay, then who's going to be the best player on our team? Because everybody loves what Jalen Johnson's doing. I don't even think the biggest Jalen Johnson optimist in the world would tell you that he profiles as the number one guy on a title team. So again, do you take on a distressed asset like a Zion and hope that's your guy? Do you try to keep this Pelicans pick and try to hope you land one of these top picks in this draft? Or, and this is the thing that's going to maybe sound really insane, and I don't even know if Atlanta would be able to do this, but do you try to go the other direction this year and like not tank, but like try to get in like the, I mean, like right now, are they, I think they're in the play-in right now.
Atlanta in the play-in, shocker.
They're in the seventh spot right now. The Celtics are tied in the loss column with them. The Bucks, if they keep Giannis, you could argue that they're going to make a push. It's not that crazy to imagine the Hawks fall to like 8 or 9, in which case they get that bite at the apple. They get the Pelicans pick bite at the apple. And then, and this is maybe a little bit too galaxy brain, do you try to trade Trae Young for anybody in the league that would be willing to give you some sort of unprotected draft asset in this year's draft? I doubt that you'd be getting that. I don't even think the Kings are giving you that.
No.
Probably not. But, I mean, unless Scott, how desperate is Scott Perry? I don't know.
Shout out to Jeff for introducing the human element that we tend to forget about sometimes, and whether it be rational or irrational, because when you talk about Zion, Atlanta's going to be like, oh, you want to trade with them motherfuckers again? Remember the last time we traded with those dudes? Like, because remember they traded for
DeJounte
Murray. Well, now, granted, they were able. No. They traded him to Atlanta.
You're talking about, no, DeJounte Murray went from Atlanta to New Orleans.
Yes.
And then New Orleans traded this crazy pick to Atlanta. So Atlanta has gotten the better of New Orleans. Yes.
So New Orleans is two of these thinking, trades. Yeah. So New Orleans is probably thinking like,
"Well, we done trading with them."
Yeah, we might be the and listen, Atlanta and New Orleans don't even like each other as it is. Shout out to the Falcons and the Saints. But at the end of the day, you got if it's Milwaukee and shout out to Ben Kim Gervin in chat. He says, if Giannis demands a trade, does that change the credit calculus? It does, but at the same time, if you're Milwaukee, you got to get picks and you got to get one young player where you could be like, we're starting with him. And if you're not, then what are we doing?
Here's what I would do is, but we'll go round robin and we'll each say our like kind of final statement. If I was the Hawks GM, I would not trade the Pelicans pick unless I could get Giannis this year and keep Johnson, Dyson Daniels, and Nikhil Alexander Walker. Maybe not Nikhil, but like I would not trade Dyson Daniels or Jalen Johnson and Sean. If that means I'm not getting Giannis, then that means I'm not getting Giannis. So I would keep the Pelicans pick. I would trade Trae Young for any, if I could get a player that I think fits with my core right now, I would do it on the assumption that I am not getting that player and I don't think they can. I'm just trying to get some sort of future unprotected draft asset that I could put in another package for something else down the line. And that's what I'm trying to do this season. Jeff, where are you going?
I think if you make that Trae Young trade, you got to think about the present and the future. I think you have to get somebody who's going to replace his offensive impact. Otherwise, you're pretty much punting on the season. This is the season of opportunity for a lot of teams in the East. Look at the East as it is right now. No one projected the East to be this close and this prolific, to be quite honest. Like, nobody predicted that. So now you can convince yourself, if you're in Orlando, if you're in Atlanta, if you're in Miami, if you're Detroit, right? That you're probably one piece away from Eastern Conference Finals at the least. One pick away. So I this whole flipping trade for like a future asset, that's probably prudent for your future. But for a lot of these teams in the East, the future is now. Tatum's coming back. He got a 3D printed Achilles, it looked like, the way he practicing on the court. Who knows if he shows up again? Hallie's taking the gap year, but he'll be back. But then we don't know what's going to be left of the Pacers. We just don't know. We don't know in general with sports, but we especially don't know in the East. Anything can happen. Remember 73-9 with the Warriors. Mm. They looked indomitable. They looked indomitable the year the Raptors won. And shit literally happened, and they did not win. So if you have a chance to make it to the finals, you got to take every possible opportunity. It's the main reason why with the team the Knicks have, you'll still hear people say, yo, you may want to seriously consider making that Giannis move potentially in season because you got to take the shot. You got to take a shot. That's why it's so imperative. So, yeah, unless you're getting somebody who can be additive where Trey isn't, while still giving you some level of offensive production, you might have to just run with your team, man.
I like it because you are basically buying Trae Young stock. You're buying that Trae could seamlessly slide into this, and not that it won't take an adjustment, but you are trusting that Trae Young could see what's going on here and has not only the ability to adjust his game and fit in, but the willingness to do so.
And even if you didn't, you're buying the fact that, hey, we should ride with the team that we have. Detroit is probably having these conversations too.
Oh, they ride with the team.
We were not even projected to get out of the play-in, right? Ride with the team that you have, and then you're way more flexible in the offseason to make a move.
And you know what's funny about you mentioning those two teams? Both of them, it comes down to an identity. It's not that like Ron Holland or Isaiah Stewart or like, you know, Tobias Harris even is like that fundamental to everything. Well, Isaiah Stewart is pretty important, but that, like, it's not like you're trading Cade or Jalen Duren, but the Pistons have such an identity that is the foundation of everything that's going well for them right now. It's a similar thing with the Hawks, I think, where it's like, Trae Young is just kind of the fabric of like what he brings to the table. Like, if you're going to sell on that, you better be sure that you're selling worth something good. So I dig it. Sean, what are you doing?
I am on the first, on the 4th of February, I'm calling the San Antonio Spurs. That's what I'm doing.
And you're trying to get who?
De'Aaron Fox. Wemby and Trey will be the most unstoppable pick and roll you have ever seen in your freaking life.
I don't think.
I'm calling them.
Yeah, listen, I know.
They might hang up the phone.
Or I think they hang up the phone. It's fine to make the call. I actually am not 100% sure because I always forget certain extension rules, like,
so he's eligible to be traded. I'm looking at fans both. De'Aaron Fox is eligible to be traded on February 4th from the February, okay, and the trade deadline, okay, is February 6th.
Okay,
that's why I said I'm calling on February 4th.
Okay, that's good job by you making sure of that. I think they hang up the phone,
but I'm gonna call.
Okay, I mean, that would kind of kill two birds with one stone. Hold on,
and it works under the cap.
All right, last question. I can't. This is wild. Do you give the Pelicans pick with Trey to get De'Aaron Fox?
So it is, who's doing who the favor? So it's like it's like when Washington and Houston traded Westbrook, and they're like, all right, someone has to get a pick. Who's going to get the pick? Even though we both know it's kind of a wash. And I believe Washington ended up sending an asset, which is because it's Washington. If San Antonio did answer the phone, they would say, well, we're doing you a favor, so send us an asset. And then Atlanta will say, well, motherfucker, we know how you feel about De'Aaron Fox. We might be doing you a favor. But not the Pelicans pick. No.
Ricochet.
You can have Ricochet.
So you would do, so if you're Atlanta, you would do Ricochet and Trae Young for De'Aaron Fox.
Yes. Because then I still have Jalen Johnson. I still
you
have
the Frenchman.
There you go. You still have Jalen Johnson. You still have Jalen Johnson. You still have Dyson Daniels. You still have Nickeil Alexander-Walker. You still have Okongwu. Like, then you're like, then to Jeff's point, man, you play the season out. You see where you're at. And guess what? You still, if you need to make a move later, you still got that Pelicans pick in your back pocket.
Trey Young and Risa Shea for De'Aaron Fox. I think that might have just broken my brain. I have no idea what either team would. I'd be really fascinated to.
It will be a fascinating discussion. It'll never happen, but it'll be a fascinating discussion.
All right. Thank you for ending us on that note. That was really good. De'Aaron Fox, man, I did not see that one coming out of left field on the bottom of the ninth. Jeff, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, I love this segment, man. It really got me thinking about what we would do if we were FKA Landry Fields and the Hawks' front office. You know, like, that. This is real. These decisions are way more difficult when you actually have to pull the trigger and it ain't no trade machine. So,
yeah,
man, tough, but it's dope.
It is, and that's why I wanted to have the conversation, because I really do think that they are the most, they're not the, maybe not the most fascinating team in the NBA, but I do think they're the most fascinating team building situation in the NBA, which is kind of why I phrase it that way. Sean, last word before we get out of here.
We are coming up. This season is the fifth anniversary of the greatest first round victory in the history of social media, the Knicks losing to the Hawks. Funny how life works out since then. Funny how life works out.
We didn't even cross that bridge of like which team would you rather be a fan of right now, the Knicks or the Hawks? I don't think it's close. You know what? I'm not saying anything other than that I agree with you that Hawks fans would also say they don't think it's close, and I think they would have a different answer. I'm just gonna say I'm just throwing that out there. Again, I'm not saying my opinion. I think I just have I am that guy who places way too much value on draft picks, because to me, the fact that they own this Pelicans pick that is currently slated to go first, and like there's a whatever 40% chance that it goes top three, is as of right now, is like, just, I don't know. I think that's a big deal.
This is the same franchise that traded Luka Doncic because hey, guess what? We have Cam Reddish.
Cam Reddish. Listen, man, if you have a chance to get Cam Reddish on your basketball
team, but it was like, remember the scuttlebutt for like 2 years. It was like, well, if this number 10 pick that they got pans out, the Hawks won the trade, and that pick was Cam Reddish. So I think as a Hawks fan, it's like, are we going to do this? Like, there's – I just think that if a Hawks fan's like, listen, as much as we think about the Knicks, they're one of the three best teams in the league, and they can win the Eastern Conference.
They can.
And we are not there, and we are not there yet.
The Hawks are the Knicks are one of the five best teams in the league. Let's say that. Yes. Let's bring it full circle, because Trey got traded for Luka. Luka got traded for AD. Trey Young and we'll get Cam Reddish back on the Hawks for Anthony Davis and Who did he go with? Max Christie. Who says no? There we go. both teams hang up the phone. All right. Everybody out there, thanks for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. I got a special guest coming up on Friday. I'm going to talk about some young players around the NBA. Excited for that upcoming conversation. In the meantime, please help support the show in all the ways that you know how to support the things that you love. Where the podcast is concerned, all you got to do is follow us on either Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your pods. And then, of course, subscribe on YouTube. Go over, watch us over there, and follow us on social media at NBA Takedown or on Twitter at NBA Takedown Pod. On behalf of Jeff Johnson and Sean with W, I am Jonathan Macri, and we will be back with more fun and games before you know it.